I'd like to read this morning with you Psalm number 25 and draw some insight, Lord willing, that will be helpful when we pray this morning as a group. We have requests to bring, burdens to pray about. This psalm has a lot to teach us about, obviously, our relationship to God and prayer. Many of the psalms do. We'll read through and we'll hopefully draw out some things. Psalm number 25, Teach Me Your Paths, of David. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame. They shall be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me. For the sake of your goodness, O Lord, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great. Who is the man who fears the Lord? Him will he instruct in the way that he should choose. His soul shall abide in well-being, and his offspring shall inherit the land. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. Consider my affliction and my trouble, and forgive all my sins. Consider how many are my foes, and with what violent hatred they hate me. O guard my soul and deliver me. Let me not be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. May integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. Redeem Israel, O God, out of his troubles. Amen. So starting there at the beginning of the psalm in verse 1, to you, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. This direction, there is a direction of affection, of desire to God. His soul is lifted up to God. That's one thing to kind of be looking. I'm standing here, but I'm looking over there, and kind of in my sideline vision, I can see that this is a directing of one's intent. His soul is directed to God. It's not really anything else distracting him. God's the one in whom he puts his trust. He puts that up front at the beginning and asks God, let me not be put to shame, which is a good prayer. When we think about our time of prayer. Don't let me be put to shame. Don't let people talk about me in such a way as to shame us both, because you are God and they know I trust in you. They know I completely depend on you. And if you don't come through, I'll be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. And then there's a promise here, and this is David is laying hold of this promise. So on one hand, he's asking to not be put to shame. On the other hand, he's exclaiming this promise. Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame. And that's a promise we can lay hold of. You'll see trials and burdens we mentioned in the verses 16 on. You see the stresses, trouble, Troubled with my heart enlarged. And he's mentioning foes here, enemies. Talked about this before. I think a broad application is with enemies in a lot of the Psalms could be for us spiritual in nature. Principalities are our enemies. Our own flesh could be our enemy, but think about entities who rise up against us, you know, principalities, demons, speaking lies. But none who wait for the Lord put their hope in the Lord will be put to shame. It's a promise we can hold up. They are ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Those enemies, those foes, the wicked will be put to shame because they don't have a sure hope. They're not waiting on God. So we have that promise to lay hold of. In verse 4, make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. There's a humility here on the part of David. Teach me things I don't know. Teach me paths I'm not aware of. I want to go where you want me to go. I'm in trouble. And when you're in trouble and you're in trial, you can't see everything. You don't. That's part of the trial. Whether it be, you know, you're sick and you don't know what's going to happen to you, or something is ahead of you that you're not sure how it's going to shake out. And there's a reason for worry. You can't see everything with your eyes. So you have to walk by faith. You need the light of God's truth and his word. You need him to show you what path to go on. And so he's asking for that humbly. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. He's putting God up and saying, you're the only place I have to go. For you, I'm waiting all the day long. And I thought about, there's been a couple times at our house there where we get a weather alert and I look out the window and the trees just start moving really fast and picking up. And it's a tornado warning. It's been at least one or two times it's been like that. And, you know, you're hearing this and you're looking out the window and you're seeing this could really, something could really happen. Okay. And in that moment, you don't think about the neighbor and maybe their house is a little stronger. Maybe I can run across the street or let me get in my car and drive to, you know, a stronger building, or they have a cellar over there. I'm going to see if I can get to it. You just think all my hope, maybe you go to the safe spot in the house, the bathroom or something, the center spot. Regardless, all your hope in that moment is in that house. Well, I've thought about that. Man, I hope this roof doesn't rip off, you know, in a storm. And so you have all your hope in the structure being sound in this wind. And that's, I think, the sentiment David has here. It's like, you are the one who's going to save if anybody's going to save. I have nowhere else to go. You're the God of my salvation, and I'm waiting on you. And unfortunately, a lot of the trials we face are not so simple where it's like, all I can do is trust in you, and in 3 seconds, I'll know whether or not I'm going to be put to shame. It's more of like a hurricane crawling close to you, and you're, oh no, when it gets here, I might be a goner. But nevertheless, it's like there's no mention of any other thing here. And I think a lot of times it's easy to do that. It's easy to, when you're waiting for God to intervene and you're hoping in God, it's easy to put little, you know, things that God might be using to answer your prayer, but to put them first. You know, well, have you talked to so-and-so? Maybe they know something about this that could help us understand this trial, or, you know, that's good. And God may use that, but we should always look to God first as our means of salvation. And the things he does, you know, how he does that, we should really try to see that that's all from God's. Kind of stating the obvious here, but his attention is directed to God alone. And then in verses 6 through 7, You know, I love these verses so much. This is the gospel right here. He says, remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love. They have been from of old. In other words, you are merciful and your love is steadfast, and that has always been the case. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me for the sake of your goodness. For your goodness sake, because you are good, when you think of me, remember your attributes. Remember your mercy and your steadfast love when you think of me, instead of remembering my sin, instead of remembering my transgression, all the sins of my youth. Look over me, cover me. Cover me with your attributes. When you think of me, think of you instead. And that's a picture of Christ, right? In Christ's righteousness, when we are drawn into the kingdom and God forgives us because of Christ, we gain his righteousness. And when Christ sees us, when God sees us, he sees Christ, he sees his righteousness. So it's almost what David is asking for here. He's admitting, I've sinned, I have sins, I have sins in my youth. Don't remember me that way. Remember me through the lens of your mercy and steadfast love. And he says, for the sake of your goodness. It's amazing that we can even say that. We can contend with God in such a way that we're saying, you're good. And you're so good that you have the ability to forgive me and pass over my sin. And I'm holding you to that. I'm holding you to your goodness. You said you were good. I need you to remember me a different way, not according to the way I deserve. That's unbelievable. We know that, but here it is in the psalm, the gospel. It's amazing. Praise God for not holding us to the guilt of our sin, making a way. And then we launch into some praise here from the psalmist. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, because he is good and upright, he instructs sinners in the way. Again, this amazing mercy and grace of God. He instructs sinners in the way. That means he reaches down to sinners and intervenes. He leads the humble in what is right, teaches the humble his way. And again, we're struggling with troubles enlarging in our hearts, trials. We need God to lead us. We need to humble ourselves before God. We need instruction. We need his teaching. We need his light. So this is a good prayer. It's very fitting that David's praying this in light of his troubles. And then this is a promise. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. But that, the Lord has seen fit for me that has been one of the starkest things contrasted before I knew God and after, is that I suddenly was encountering this God who is always the same. Now you can depend on him. And you can depend on him to always be not only the same, but always be good. And no matter what, you can just, there's weight there. You can always depend on God, all his paths, wherever he leads you, whatever trials he takes you through, whatever goodness he takes you through. Every path is going to be marked with steadfast love and faithfulness for you. I mean, that's a promise we can lay hold of with whatever we bring to pray this morning. Again, you see this contending, telling God who he is and holding him to it, trying to, for your name's sake, because of who you are. Oh Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great, it's sin mentioned here. Who is the man who fears the Lord? Him will he instruct in the way that he should choose. His soul shall abide in well-being. His offspring shall inherit the land. Notice the friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him. Those who fear God, who are humbled, and who humbly ask for help like David is here, who seek to walk in God's ways, even in trouble, they get the friendship of God, the very friendship of God. And they'll abide in well-being. It doesn't mean they'll not have trials, but they'll be in well-being. They'll be at peace. And if they're not at peace, they're crying out to God for his intervention to be at peace. They have a resource, and that resource is everything. My eyes are ever towards the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. Again, ever towards the Lord. This is the only place I go. This is the only resource I have. There's no other option. It's me and God, and he's intervening now, or I'm waiting for him to intervene. It's just, I'm in a net. He's the one that's going to pluck me out. It's not me. It's not my own strength. It's not somebody else, unless it's from him. I'm waiting on him. So then we launch into really some of the prayer requests and the admission of what David's going through. He mentioned enemies, but you get to see his heart a little bit here. And this is what we do every time we pray, asking for grace. Turn to me and be gracious. For I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart and enlarged is asking, bring me out of my distress. Consider my affliction and my trouble and forgive all my sins. In the world, whenever you ask someone to consider something, just in everyday language, hey, I gotta, you know, you think of like someone trying to get some value out of somebody else, or like, you know, maybe a salesperson, or, you know, just someone trying to, I'll give you some, you give me something, and consider my offer, consider this, give me some attention and consider what I have to say. But David, and we do too, get to cry out to God and say, consider these troubles. And these troubles can be anything. And we can ask God to consider them. But please look over this and help me. And maybe I'm overblowing this thing and I'm not trusting you and I'm being anxious and I shouldn't be. But would you consider this, look over it, and review my case? And we can pray that to the living God. He doesn't thump us away and say, that's small potatoes. You've seen what this guy's going through? No, I mean, he considers our troubles. But David's afflicted. He's in trouble. His heart, troubles of his heart are enlarged. He's lonely. He's asking for grace. Consider, think about, Lord, how many foes I have. And think about their intent. What violent hatred they hate me. Again, we've talked about this. We don't have yet people out to get us for our lives. We may one day, but more applicable here is like, consider without your intervention, I mean, there's dark principalities that want me in hell. I mean, and they were ruling my life before you intervened. And they're speaking lies to me, or they're, you know, my own flesh is tempting me. I'm my own foe. And deliver me from that. Guard my soul. Let me not be put to shame. There you see it again. Because I take refuge in you. I'm going to you. Don't let me be put to shame. This guard he wants over his soul because of the hatred of his enemies. May integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you again. You're not going to be put to shame. If your trial is long, you know, if you've been on a marathon trial, you can continue to wait on God. He's just as trustworthy. He's not going to put you to shame for waiting on him in this trial. You didn't choose the wrong path. Every path of the Lord is His righteousness is marked with steadfast love. May integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. Redeem Israel, O God, out of his trouble, all his troubles. And he could just as well have said, redeem me of all my trouble. So, just wanted to reflect on some of these things. There's a lot in here to lay hold of. Hopefully, something jumped out at you for our time of prayer. But one thing that strikes me is just how boldly we can go before God and pray. I mean, this is holding God to who he is. You're this way. So I'm praying for this, more of this, praying for more grace. Remember me through the lens of how good you are, not through. This is unbelievable boldness to pray this. And God wants us to come before him that way. And he loves us this much. I mean, this is amazing. So, with that said, is there anything we need to pray about specifically? As always, we can pray for our time of worship, our time of preaching, that it would be effective, that fellowship would be sweet and would be productive. But is there anything of need we need to bring up?
Samantha typed something.
Okay. Samantha says, please pray for Aaron. He's totaled his truck last night. He said a lady ran a red light. She left in an ambulance. His girlfriend wasn't wearing a seatbelt, but Aaron and her are okay. Other than her getting a concussion from hitting the windshield. Wow. Yeah. Samantha will keep them in prayer. Anyone else? Yeah, did you have something?
No, I was first going to comment on the song there, the little section there is, as we pray, there's things that help in our prayer that we're taught. In verse 4 through 7, just a great prayer in and of itself, but, we ask the to continually ask the Lord to help us to know his ways and his truths, the attributes of God that, like you mentioned, that he's never changing. He's always constant. He will never not hear us. And, just in our prayers, sometimes our doubt is that, we pray so often for so many needs. We feel like whether it be, this song addresses the fact that David asked the Lord not to remember three times. He says, not to remember his sins, to forgive his sins. And sometimes that hinders in our confidence that the Lord is hearing us, that we can pray. We feel ashamed sometimes. But just that praise that in verse 4, he says, make me know thy ways. It's just, sometimes before our prayers, it just does us good to first state those things about the attributes of God when it comes to lifting up our prayers and our requests. That, like you mentioned, Lord, you're always there. You always give ear to us. You're ever present. You live to intercede on our behalf. Just some things we've come to know in our Christian walk about the loving kindness, the eternal love of God for us, and ever present to be our intercessor. Before we lift those things up, it just gives us confidence in those prayers to pray, and as we remind ourselves of those attributes. But with that in mind, I was going to ask also, kind of back in a circle of prayer need for Amber. She has lost her job. She is back struggling with some health issues. There is a guy that I'm thankful for that's in the picture, an old acquaintance of hers that liked her in the past. And anyway, he come back around and he's kind of showing affections are. I don't know if it's more out of pity or more out of he still cares for her. I don't know, but I'm grateful for the help that he is right now. But anyway, I actually ought to lift her up again. It's a heavy thing for Bridget and I, you know, dealing with her, because it's like she's so needy in so many ways, and it affects every aspect, mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, everything. Anyway, I ask a prayer for her, if y'all would.
Yeah, definitely. Anyone else? While we pray, I can open us up and y'all can pray as you fill in. And Brother Mark, would you mind closing us today? Thanks. Dear God, thank you for your word. Thank you again, Lord, for your goodness. Lord, thank you for causing us to turn to you, to love you, Lord, to see you. Get a glimpse of you, Lord, calling us to you, that we can come before you, Lord, and pray, Lord. Lord, the timid sometimes, Lord, we need your help to have the right view of you before we come to you, Lord. And this psalm, if it's all we had, Lord, tells us so much. You are gracious, you're merciful, you're upright, you're righteous in all your ways. You only lead your people down paths that are full of your steadfast love. And you're faithful, unwavering. You've never not been faithful, Lord. We have that testimony, Lord. We don't have a testimony of never going through hard times. But we do have a testimony of your faithfulness, and that you've given us joy even when we do go through hard times. And Lord, so we ask that you would help us, remind us of who you are, that you're not a hard and exacting man when we're going through these trials, that you're good. You have our good in mind. And Lord, even in the times when we're not going through trials, Lord, sometimes we need you to be faithful to us even more so, Lord, that we would not forsake you, Lord, when you've made our, when you've caused us to lie beside still waters. And we wouldn't be so distracted with your goodness, Lord, your gifts, that we forget who gave them to us, Lord, that we would stay with you. Lord, we lift up these couple of prayer requests, Lord, that were voiced. I pray for the ones that are in enlarging troubles of hearts, Lord, that were not spoken. Lord, you know them. And I pray for the ones that were mentioned, Father, for Aaron and his girlfriend who were in this accident, Lord, for the other car that was in the accident, Lord, for all of these. We pray that this would be not just a life-changing event where they almost died and got over it, but that you would use it, Lord, to draw those involved to you, Lord, for Aaron, Lord. That's his parents' desire, and that you would save him, or that you would use it in this his girlfriend who was there, her life, saved through this, Lord. Put eternity in their minds. And, Lord, heal their bodies and protect them. Lord, lift up Amber at this time, Lord. Lord, you've been faithful. And Mr. Todd and Miss Bridget, their lives with this trial, Lord, you're going to continue to be faithful. I just ask that you grant them strength and wisdom, Lord, and intervene on Amber's behalf and save her, Lord. Lord, what an awesome thing. What a unending reason to praise you, Lord, all the requests that have gone out, Lord, on her behalf, that you would, she would answer the prayers, Father, that we prayed. We ask that you would make it so, Lord. We agree that this would be good and we glorify you. We ask that you would do that. We ask for our time this morning, Lord, that we would be encouraged, that we would not only seek to hear from you and be encouraged, but that there would be an overflow. We could serve each other with that. We can't do anything without you, Father. We ask for your help and your grace. It's for your name's sake, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
God, I'm submitted for the schemes of the evil one that would cause us to, even this morning, not to benefit fully from the sweet fellowship of the body together and reading and talking about your word and your glories of God the Father and Jesus Christ, your beloved Son, the riches found in him. So many things, so many distractions, Lord, whether it's, as the psalmist talked about, it's being aware of sin. So are we, Father, our frailties, lack of dedication to the eternal things, to your word. We're aware of all of that within ourselves. Your scripture tells us that you're mindful of our frames, that we're but dust. And yet it pleases you to abide with such creatures. Those that take what they have and lay it before you, Father. But we see the examples of scriptures, even when there was only 2 small cents to put into the offering, like how you honored that, recognized that, picked that up. Father, a lot of us, that's all we have emotionally this morning to lift up as you put a small amount in. And we pray that, like this poor woman, that you would bless it. Pray, Father, that these prayers, these feeble prayers that we lift up, these attempts at praising you that we lift up, attempt of reading your word, that would please you to the power of your Holy Spirit. Do something with it, Lord, to get glory from it. These prayers, Father, as my brother shared, these words, not by coincidence or chance, any of these things that happen to any of us, but they're specifically designed for each one of your children, specifically the sanctifying process that is best for each one. And each one of us has our own personal trials, you know that. We can thank you because of what scripture teaches us. We are loved to the nth degree. You care for us more than we care for ourselves even. You have proven that. Offering your son. Knowing that as we know your character to be loving, just, and good. Know you to give us only what is right, only what is good. Your desire is for us to be more made into the image of Jesus Christ for our eternal life, Lord, for our eternal existence before you, not to make our lives more comfortable in this fleeting, passing world, which we feel ourselves ever draw ever closer to that line, Lord, when we cross over. Before the one of reality on the other side, do you do all things well, Lord? Do you orchestrate all things for that time? So, Father, I pray that we would trust in your loving character on our behalf as you put these trials before us, as you give us burdens of our own and for others to lift up to you, Father. That we trust your goodness and your kindness. That you love us deeply. And, Father, we do pray that we come to you for strength, daily needs. Come to you, Father. pray on behalf of Samantha and Dustin as they're crying out even this morning for their son Aaron. All those of us, the children, understand that, Father. Understand the hardships and the crying, and you have made it that way for us, Father. So I pray that you would remember these prayers as we agonize over wisdom, as we agonize over how to instruct them, how to pray for them. We don't even know how to pray as we should. But we do know this, Lord, that your Spirit intercedes on our behalf with groanings too deep for words. We pray for your Holy Spirit to come upon us, Lord, to fill our prayers with something more than just words. They would be effectual, Father, when we open up to you. We pray for each one of our children and our grandchildren to come to know you. Would you be pleased to do that work, Father, that eternal work, so that at the end of our days, we're comforted by the fact that we have laid before them all the truth of your gospel, that we have seen your hand do a work, Father, and is well pleased to you to do such works in their lives, Father. We look to you, Father, for these things. We thank you for our pardon in Jesus Christ, our beloved Savior. Lord, we wait for thee, we trust thee, we lift these prayers up, we give this time to you, Father, in the precious name of your Son.
Father, we bow our knees before you and we come to your presence, confessing, Father, that we do not know how to pray as we should, but we know we should pray. We should always pray, and we should be like the woman you gave us in my illustration to come before the unjust judge, Father, to be relentless in it. We thank you, Father, that in your goodness and kindness, with our incomplete ordering of our prayers, whether we lack the passion, Father, or we lack the argumentation, we just lack whatever to be able to connect. Father, we thank you that you are patient with us, and that you're gracious, always gracious. Many times, Father, you answer us in spite of our prayers. We thank you, sir. And Father, there are times we're mindful, Lord, that our prayers will not be answered until the timing is right. And our prayers are more aligned with your will. Father, we don't know all the factors in a given moment when we're praying. We just know, Father, to come to you and cry out, Father, we lay these things before you as the psalmist does in Psalm 25, asking you to remember things and to not remember things, to educate him, to keep him from shame. Father, we can identify. So, Father, whether it's a situation in the Mercer family with Aaron, and situation of car accident, or Father, the heart condition of the child, pleasure family. Father, in your providence and sovereignty, you brought us to this place where we can come before you and bring these before you. And we thank you for it. And we worship you. And we look to you, Father, in your goodness and kindness and compassion to hear our cry. show your goodness once more, Father, and answer these requests that it would turn favorably for them. Lost would be saved. Father, men, women would draw closer to you. Parents would be encouraged. Christ would be honored in this. Be with us even today, Father, as we gather and sing and worship and preach and listen and encourage, especially with the women afterwards. Father, we just ask, Lord, that you help us once again so that Christ is magnified and glorified. We have many needs, Father, but our greatest need is Christ being honored and glorified. That will always stand out. It's the greatest reason for why we ask for anything, so that Christ would be honored and glorified. We love you and thank you. For his great name we pray. Amen.